come up and beat on my oxygen mask and break up the ice and everything. About every 5 to 7 minutes, he'd make that trip back and forth across there. And that took some guts. I guess he could have put a parachute on, but that would have been, he couldn't get through the upper turret to get to me. But the co-pilot, I sent him back. There wasn't any use of him sit out there and freeze his tail off.
So there's only you basically in the front of the plane.
That's all I was flying.
Except for Cuffy would come back and forth.
That's right.
To break up the ice. And
right.
And you said 4 hours?
4 hours. We got down, he had to stay with the formation. I didn't dare get out and try to come back by ourselves. If we did, some German fighter come along, we were already helpless almost, shoot us down.
So now, you did get the plane back.
Yeah, and I landed the plane, whammed on the brakes the best I could, and we were real late coming in. But I slowed it down after we got over the channel and came in by ourselves. But and everybody else was down, and we were the last plane. So I stopped it, and here came out a whole bunch of jeeps and vehicles around there, and they had Jimmy Doolittle, Duchess of Kent, Air Marshal of England, Colonel Mack. And my plane was the only one that had gotten hurt that day. And they were inspecting the field, so they wanted to see the damage. Well, when I looked at my hands, they were completely black. My face was black, too. It was all frostbitten. I don't know if the radio man called it in or the co-pilot called in to get the ambulance out there, and because they just took me out of there. I didn't get to meet Doolittle or any of the people, but they took me to the hospital and put me in ice for 2 weeks. They didn't know anything else to do. And you sit with ice packs on all the time in the wintertime. I don't like cold weather. So that's the story about the nose on the bomber. They used the bomber, it was so beat up, they used it for parts to put it over to the part pile. It was back over there. I went over and looked at it once in a while.
Now, was anybody else have to be taken to the hospital that
day? Nobody got hurt. Well, the navigator got his finger cut a little bit, and I think they just put a bandage on it.
Did Cuffy have any frost?
Cuffy never got hurt.
No frostbite either from...
No. He got, any time you got behind something, you were warm enough. Everybody had electric suits then, and we did pretty well. I don't think my body got so cold, but my face and hands were just awful. And I've never had any fingernails because of it. I've got the best fingernails now I've ever had.
So that's always been a problem since then?
Yeah.
And I know you said you've always hated the cold weather since then, too.
That's right. Well, of course, my thermostat is no good. Well, that's that one. Well, another one, we went on this mission, and we got about three-quarters of the way. If you don't drop your bombs, you don't get credit for a mission. Even though you go through everything, you get shot at and everything else, but if you don't drop your bombs on the target, you don't get credit. So anyway, we got about three-quarters of the way there to the target, whatever it was, and number two engine there, the airplane, if you're going straight ahead, the left engine is number one, the left two, three, and four. And number two started acting up. Well, I tried to feather it so that the propeller would turn around and it just slices the air. It doesn't hold the airplane back. This time, this propeller would not feather. It would just sit there, and the faster we'd go, the faster it would spin, and it had broken off the shaft that held the propeller, so it just sat there and windmilled. And boy, it would sing, just scream. If you look at any of the pictures of B-17 and the pilot, I could almost touch the propeller out there. That's where how close we were to that engine. It was maybe 2 feet ahead of your knees. in there. That thing's spinning around out there screaming like crazy. And so the co-pilot, I said, do you think we ought to try to dump it? He said, yeah, let's try to dump it. So we'd go together. We'd push the nose and we'd go down. And that thing would just, the centrifugal force of that would eat the cowling off of there, and pieces of the cowling of the plane would go flying off back like that. Sparks flying out in every place. And then we'd pull back like that and it'd eat the other way, see? Eat back and forth. And we'd stand on one rudder where it would go sideways, trying to, anything to try to unloosen it to knock it off. I couldn't get rid of it. We tried everything. So I called the leader and said, we're going home. And at that time of the war, there weren't very few fighters out because the Germans just didn't have pilots and fuel. Even though they could run the ME-262, the jet fighters that came on later on in the war. And I saw a jet fighter. I'm one of the old guys that they shot, the fighter shot at me. I claim that one. But they would go right past our P-51s just like they weren't there, those jets. They'd go way out and then they would turn around and make a big horseshoe turn, come straight back at you, and they were going around 600, 650, and you're going 150, so the closure rate's pretty fast. And then you see these tracer bullets going by your windows out here, and you knew that there were six shells in between every one of those. Oh, that you kind of make yourself into a little ball when you see that happen. But we tried to get rid of that propeller, and it wouldn't come off. So I told the co-pilot, I don't think it's going to come off. Let's just forget about it. Let's go and dump the bombs. He said, okay. So the navigator gave us a heading for home, and we got to the middle of the English Channel, and we had to get rid of the bombs. We didn't want to take them back. This was the end of the war. Now, early in the war, they had to bring the bombs back because they didn't have enough of them at first. So anyway, we got halfway across the channel, and Cuffy was the toggler. He was the guy with the button. And so he let them go, and they went down and blew up in the channel. So we went on home, and instead of making a correct pattern around the field, there wasn't anybody else out to the field but us. We were the last ones in there because we had to go so slow. Everybody passed. Anyway, landed it. And the second those tires touched that runway, away went that propeller. It just enough to break loose whatever was holding it. And it was spinning, screaming, just screaming. And it went faster than we were and went down. And you know, you've seen pictures of a big hub right in the middle of the propeller. Well, it set up on there just like a top. When it went out, it went forward and then down and spinning like crazy and just bouncing along on that spinner. And I tried everything to miss that thing. I stood on one rudder and then stood on the other rudder, and I pulled and pushed, and nothing would happen. I went right over top of it, and it just ate the ball and the tail of that airplane all to pieces. Yep. So we taxied it back, got out of it, and I think they junked that airplane too. That was a good story. That was a fun trip though, except that the end of the story is that when we pulled into the revetment, that's what they call the place where they store the airplane, the sergeant called up there and he said, Lieutenant, the colonel wants to see you. Oh, I needed that like a hole in the head. Nobody ever wanted to go be told to come to see the colonel. But I got out of the plane, went on, I filled out the forms, and then went on back and went up to the tower. When we dropped the bombs, what we didn't know was that one of our submarines was in the channel, and our bombs just barely missed him. And the Navy Department had called the colonel and said, one of your planes about sunk one of our submarines. So he was not very well pleased with our getting rid of the bombs. I said, do you want me to bring them back? He said, that would have been better than them doing what you did.
Now, were there any other missions that stuck out in your mind, something that happened on them, or were those the only two?
Oh, no, I had all kinds.
They had major plane damage? Were those the only two that...
Yeah, that's the only ones I had major plane damage. Everybody had damage. We had some flak holes one time. I don't know how many, but I expect we had at least 500 holes in it, and nobody got hurt.